You're listening to Talk Radio at the Talk of Mobility.
He looks good in National 1.
Roger.
BCS arm switch is on.
Okay, Victor.
Landing rocket arm switch is on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have separation.
Roger.
Inboard and outboard are on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
All looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Damper 3.
Get your pitch to 0.
Pitch is out. I can't hold altitude.
Correction. Alpha 4 is off. Trim selectors emergency.
Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
Donkey Kong brand cereal.
Crunchy bears of fun for breakfast. Donkey Kong, a Donkey Kong cereal.
The sweet, crunchy corn taste will drive you ape.
You love the crunch. Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong cereal. Crunchy bears of fun for breakfast.
It's part of this complete breakfast.
A Donkey Kong cereal. You love the crunch.
If everybody had a 12-gauge and a surfboard too, you see them shooting and serving in a Malibu. Because it's totally bitchin', riding waves to blast their pigeons, and it's so neat shooting ski while you're riding on the heavies all day. First wave, don't get tired. Second wave, pull it higher. We're waxing down our surfboards and loading up our traps. Tell the teacher we're shooting, we're here for something back. I've got a gun rack in my Chevy for when the surf and the flat gets heavy. And we'll have fun with our guns till a lifeguard takes our ammo away. Sharing sunsets with my favorite girl. When we shoot the thrill, we really shoot the thrill. First wave, shoot, don't let the sirens. Second wave, shoot. Wish they all could be double-barreled guns. Surf, keep surfing, can't you see? Do you want to come along with me? Keep surfing, can't you see?
Hey, hey, it's the big master control program everybody's been talking about.
Hey, everybody! It's me, the J-Strom! Episode 98 of Nowhere in Mulberry. No, not the master control program, but the J-Strom. How are you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Steven, the pop culture zealot, how are you doing?
Just fantastic.
Got here in the nick of time.
I could hear the gasping.
I'm rolling in late.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Bill, we had no lunchtime shows this week, and so we're out of practice. It's like, how do I do the show? I don't remember. It's kind of weird taking a week off.
It's not that weird.
We've got so like into a rhythm there. I'm kind of out of rhythm in a way.
Well, I can agree with that, yeah.
It's like we do the show, we used to do the show every Saturday, then we went live, and then we're every Friday, then started doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And this week we didn't do any of those shows, so...
We're not keeping you up, Stephen, are we?
No, I wasn't a yawn, I was just inhaling.
Well, we're back, though, and that's what matters, right? We're here for Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 98. Two away from episode 100. And I got to say that, Bill, we played a little bit of Halo this week. Steven,
yes, we cheated.
It's as fun as advertised. I got to show you this, Steven. It's really awesome. We need to get a second controller so we can play split screen. But it's pretty awesome, man.
I thought I was supposed to buy one and take it on the road.
Yeah, do that too. That would be cool. But what's cool is you can have a headset on and talk to people as you're playing it. So I can talk to Bill. And we played with Brock, too, last Saturday. That was a lot of fun. But, Bill, I get into that mindset where we're just search and destroy. We're killing everything in sight, right? We're fighting aliens. And when it comes time to turn the game off, I find that I'm still in kill mode.
Sure. Me too.
I'm still wanting to just mow things down.
I act like I have my pulse rifle and I shoot at things.
I'm wishing I had like a sticky grenade to throw on people and it sticks to them and they can't get it off and blows them up. But I was watching this very interesting doctor, Dr. Susan Bartel. I don't know if you've heard of her before, but she does like child psychology or something on the brain.
Okay.
She basically I don't know if you've heard of this, but the churches have been having Halo nights. Where kids come in, they play Halo for a while, and it gets them into the church.
I thought they traded those little golden Halos off.
Yeah, but it gets them off the streets. Gets them off drugs. They're not doing sex. They're playing video games.
Not doing sex.
Yeah,
doing sex stuff.
Dr. Susan Bartel is like, no.
They're not dropping Crystal Dream in
their eyes. They should be out in the streets doing...
Pushing Nuke.
They should be out there doing that stuff because video games are so violent. Like, Halo, this game is horrible.
Oh, yes. So
basically, you're turning your children into ticking time bombs. When they're done playing, don't cross them because they will kill you. Let's check this out.
Yeah, you know him.
There's this horrible show that she appeared on. I don't even know what this is.
The Morning Show.
Yeah, The Morning Show. And it's just very scary. Let's check it out.
Welcome back. We're talking about using the video game Halo 3. It's a very violent game with lots of shooting and death. To get teens into church.
Mm-hmm. Attorney Jack Thompson also against the idea.
Maybe a liability, he says.
Absolutely. And joining us is psychologist Dr. Susan Bartel. Dr. Susan, good to see you again.
Hi, Dr. Susan.
Okay. So let's get this from the psychologist's point of view. What's going on in the brain, in a kid's brain, when they're playing video games?
When kids play violent video games, we can see that their brains are different than when they play nonviolent games. That they actually change, and their levels of emotional arousal increase dramatically.
What are we
It's remarkable.
At
it's really remarkable to see that the brain on the right is Quack. The game of the child who's playing the violent video game, and the brain
the emotional
on the
arousal
is the non-violent video game. And we can see a very big difference in their.
I
brain,
want to see when they're playing
them,
like.
I don't know if I
want to like,
play in the same room as you, Jason.
What
if you're getting emotionally aroused.
What about like Mario Kart or something?
Yeah.
No, it's negative activity that the child.
No, she doesn't tell you the other game they play.
No.
A non-violent game in a violent video game. She doesn't tell you what the non-violent is.
When they walk out of the room and they go out onto the street and someone might bump into them, what are they going to do? They're going to react in that same highly aroused, angry way.
Oh, my God. She's right.
What happened yesterday? Yeah. Well, you know what? When we add
they're
going to
have sword fights.
All the other bad things that are happening in the world, we can have kids who are aroused to that negative level that they might want to go out and pick up a gun. And that's not okay. That is criminal. And people
picking up guns is criminal, Steve.
Should not be allowing such dangerous games.
What if they went and got a permit first?
There are other ways.
That'd be criminal?
You know who makes this game? It's Microsoft.
Right.
Microsoft. So, Bill, that was a good...
Halo? What?
That's a good,
no, I don't think so.
That's a good game of Halo. I'm going to go ahead and walk down the street. Hey, buddy, you got the time? Oh, shit! Oh, my God! Oh, I thought you were an alien. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill you.
I thought you were a brute. Did you have a gravity hammer?
Yeah, oh, my God. I thought it was one of the Covenant, Bill. I feel really horrible. I shot this old lady. She looked like an alien to me. Hey, Bill. Bill, you drive. I'll get up on the back of the car with a machine gun.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Let's just start
you're on the turret.
Sweet.
What are you doing on that Honda? This isn't a Honda. It's a
Warthog.
Take that, alien scum. What the hell is that lady talking about?
Absolutely.
She shows
nothing.
This brain graph where it shows violent video game, non-violent video game. That cannot mean that at all. What it can mean is, say it's a kind of game that doesn't use that same part of the brain because, say, it's not a strategic type
it's
game.
It's not an action game.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all it means. It doesn't mean that the kids are going to leave church and be, okay, hey, let's go gang rape some old lady and shoot her in the head. Halo made me do it.
That's Grand Theft Auto, not Halo.
And this game isn't violent like that. I mean,
no.
You're fighting
it's
aliens.
It's cartoonish.
You're not even killing people, and the aliens say funny things. There's this part that the voice acting is great in this game because different characters say things throughout the game. There's one part where these space bugs, basically essentially what they are, one of the soldiers goes, "Space bugs!" And I just thought that was hilarious.
It was great.
But this lady...
There's some really good moments of funny stuff. Like, even the aliens say crazy stuff. Like, we were on one level and I killed one of these little characters called a grunt. And he goes, "Oh, he killed my best friend!"
Yeah. Another one to go, "Run for your lives!"
"He killed Morty!" You know, just really funny
There's
stuff.
There's a good sense of humor to it. And I would almost go to a church that had free Halo night.
Yeah, why not?
Almost.
What I want to know is why this. How are these churches affording multiple Xbox 360s, most likely on a network, so they can all play each other?
Donations.
that's what they're going to. Take that, alien scum! Excuse me, sir, can I interest you in the Watchtower? Alien!
I think in that case it'd be alright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Jews for Jesus?
Yeah. But that's what we
Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's what we've been doing with our time. No, we had to do other things, but we managed to mix that in. And I got to say that it's I'm just going to really interfere with the show, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, I had meetings this week and, you know, I would get home like around 2:00 and I'd log on and we'd just kind of talk and they go, "Well, why don't we play some Halo for a few hours?" And that's what we do, and it's just fun, you know? We kind of did that instead of preparing for the show tonight, so...
Did you watch any of the shows this week?
Trust me, I wanted to play so bad today, but instead I worked on the show, so everyone should be proud of me, okay? Now, there's this very serious story going on this week, and I don't know, it's really upset me, and I wish I had the lunch show to talk about it, but it's all about Ellen. Have you guys heard about this? Ellen and the dog, Iggy.
Iggy,
and
the poor dog.
It's okay if you missed it, Steven, because Entertainment Tonight pretty much covered all of it.
Sweet.
So here, they're going to tell you all about it, okay?
The Iggy wrap-up.
It's my fault.
Ellen and the battle over Iggy the dog today.
This is going to stop.
The woman who took Iggy back, receiving death threats.
You can't fix this now. I mean, I've been terrorized, literally terrorized.
How Ellen broke the rules and where Iggy is now.
I guess it's better to be in a rescue place than in a loving home with children that love it and have become attached to it and now are crying every night.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mary Hart.
And I'm Mark Stynis. Welcome to Entertainment Tonight.
Ellen DeGeneres and the battle for Iggy. It's the dog story everyone's talking about. And tonight, we have the woman at the center of the war.
and I feel totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
We've been terrorized. I haven't eaten. I'm sick. I've had heart palpitations.
She is Marina Baptist, co-founder of Mutts and Moms, the rescue agency behind Ellen's adoption of Iggy. When Ellen gave the dog to her hairdresser, the agency stepped in, took the dog back, and now find themselves in one ugly battle.
People are sending things to say nasty and words that I can't repeat without saying it. You know, so we can't even review applications. At this point, we think they're just going to come and try to hurt our animals.
Now, basically, let me stop right there on that lady. Okay, Ellen adopted a dog, Stephen, named Iggy. It turns out she loved the dog very much, but the dog was a little too much to handle, and her hairdresser, why Ellen needs a hairdresser, I don't know, if you look at her hair. But yeah, anyway, that's exactly besides the point. Her hairdresser wanted the dog, and she sees her hairdresser every day, so it's okay, and she asks how the dog's doing. Her kids love the dog, all that. This adoption agency that lets you adopt pets asks, how's Iggy doing? And she goes, well, I got to be honest with you. I gave the dog to my hairdresser because it wasn't really working at my house. They said, no, that's against the rules. We're taking the dog back. They sent the police to retrieve the dog from that lady. And now Ellen talked about it on her show, like, please give the dog back to that family. They fell in love with it. I'm sorry I didn't follow the rules to the letter. Please. Well, Ellen fans were so enraged that they started sending death threats to the lady, nice, which is hilarious. But I love what the lady says there. I can't
even process applications.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I'm having heart palpitations.
Yeah, she was. She doesn't know if somebody wants to hurt the dogs or not. Why would they hurt the dogs? They're dogs.
They want
to
hurt you, you idiot.
They
lady.
Want you to give the dog back. But here's what else. E.T. covered this all. They do such a great job.
Leave it to Mary Hart. She's just a sleuth. Death threats.
E.T. has obtained Marina's police report claiming her life is being threatened. She says her group took the dog away because Ellen didn't follow the most important rule in the contract.
Gotta love those drums.
It's music like Halo.
On her show today, Ellen said what mattered here was the dog.
So I guess it's better to be in a rescue place than in a loving home with children that love it and have become attached to it and now are crying every night because the dog is gone.
So will Ellen's hairdresser get Iggy back?
I hope so.
In fact, Iggy has already been placed in another home, and Ellen's on-air plea may be the reason.
Okay. Now, after what's happened, you can't fix this now. I mean, I've been terrorized, literally terrorized.
Ellen also spoke to Ryan Seacrest today on Kiss FM.
Seems like this has become a personal thing against you.
I don't even understand. The latest statement in the press is, we will not let the Ellen DeGeneres of the world get away with it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Lesbian
dog owners is what they mean. But they filled the whole week on Entertainment Tonight with this. And this is even worse, Bill. They ran out of material, and they tried to squeeze a little bit more out. Just listen to this story. It's they've got nothing else to tell you, but they just keep going. It's just like, come on, one more Iggy and Ellen story. Let's check it out. I'm still trying to understand this story. It makes no sense.
Ellen's display of emotion was heartbreaking, and she's not the only star who feels a special connection with dogs. Tori Spelling and Charlize Theron have both rescued dogs and work with organizations like Much Love to provide homes for homeless animals. Drew Barrymore's adopted stray Flossie actually saved her and then fiancé Tom Green's lives in 2001 when her barks woke them up and they were able to flee Drew's burning home. Oprah is a self-professed dog person. Bob Barker has made it his personal crusade to get owners to spay and neuter their pets, while Betty White has a long campaign for saving abused and abandoned animals. This summer, Williams was devastated when her beloved Yorkie Enzo disappeared.
Oh, no.
Through
her
a
Yorkie.
Microchip implanted in him, she was reunited with her pup. Rachel Ray's Pitbull is her pride
what?
And joy.
What does this have to do with Ellen?
She hopes Ellen's dog
show
drama
that stars
is
love dogs.
The people should give the dog to the family.
Today on her show, Ellen pleaded once again for little Iggy to be returned to the family she gave him to.
I just want the dog to be in the safe, loving place where it was.
Now tomorrow on E.T., what's next?
Ellen and Iggy Gate, day three.
She's wrong, and she will do anything.
Iggy Gates? What?
Iggy Gate.
Iggy Gates? What the hell are you talking about?
Lesbigate.
What Iggy Gate? They had nothing. They started telling us all the celebrities that own dogs.
They've been rescued by dogs.
Yeah. Richard Simmons owns a dog,
too. Tom Green and Drew were saved by their dogs.
So what does that have to do with this story? It has nothing to do with it. They're taking the towel and wringing every last drop out of it.
It means that Iggy is a super dog and he could do all these things.
I love that. Rachel Ray owns a pit bull. It's like, huh?
Wow.
That's very interesting.
Maybe don't eat her throat out.
The wow. pit bull loves to make cookies with it.
Yeah. I love
the
it.
Pit bull
I just
eats dogs like Iggy regularly.
I just hope the family gets Iggy back. I think it's funny that she used her show to
I
basically
hope Iggy gets run over by a car.
She was pissed off basically about this, so she used her show. I think it's kind of funny in a way.
That's really dumb. And she's like sobbing. I saw that video of her just sobbing for like 5 minutes. It's just like, what in the hell are you doing?
Oh, I know. She was really upset.
And I feel totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
So, I mean, basically she adopted a dog. She, you know, she helped the dog from being put to sleep. I don't know what happens to him if you don't adopt him.
No, she adopted it from an actual adoption agency. There was no threat of this dog being put to sleep. It's a no-kill.
It's a no-kill
shelter. I think he loves pets kind of thing. So she
and she didn't follow the correct rules. She should have said, okay, what's the method to transfer this dog's ownership to another family, fill out the forms, do what needs to be done,
or do it. Or when they called and said, how's Iggy doing? Iggy's doing fine. Thanks for calling.
Iggy,
bye.
Great.
And they never
just
know.
Bark off to the side.
Yeah, here he is. He wants to talk to you. Yeah, he's doing so well. Are you in the Gawakis? But that didn't happen, and this is a very shocking story, Stephen. I just had
my
to
heart
let
is
you...
breaking.
At first, I thought she was talking about Iggy Pop.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead.
He kind of looks like a dog.
Iggy is adorable. They showed many pictures of him with Iggy Gate. But let's go ahead and check out entertainment. What do you say? Now, Bill, 30 Days of Night came out today, and I didn't even realize it came out today
until today. I forgot about it.
It looked pretty cool. It's got chainsaw sculpture Josh Hartnett in it. And
chainsaw sculpture?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's okay.
You know, I guess I just don't watch the TV channels advertised on, so...
Watch my show.
I forgot.
There's that one commercial where the girl goes, oh, God. And he goes, no, God. He's a vampire. He's going to eat her or whatever. So basically what I've read about, it's good, effective horror thriller, but not any characterization. But, hey, do you go to those movies for that?
Well, wasn't really any characterization in the original book. That whole characterization thing kind of happens with the sequels, like Dark Days and everything else after the initial book.
It's based on a comic book?
It's a series of books.
Oh, I got
and this is just the first one, 30 Days a Night.
I mean, it looks really cool. I can't wait to see it.
If it follows the book, you know, the story, I think people will be kind of shocked by the ending.
Nice.
It's not a conventional ending, so...
Well, it's hopefully about these people that are in a town in Alaska where 30 Days of Night happen. And vampires are like, dude, this place rules, man. We don't have to worry about sunlight,
dark smorgasbord.
And these people have to hole up for 30 days and try to survive. I like that idea, that storyline. And hopefully it's cool. But also, Ben Affleck directed this movie called Gone Baby Gone that's supposed to be really awesome. I've read nothing but good things about it. And I probably won't see this in the theater. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I'm excited to see it. Ben Affleck decided, hey, people don't like me as an actor. I'll start directing movies. But I've never had a problem with Ben Affleck.
I've never had a problem with him. He was the bomb in Phantom.
Yeah, he was the bomb in Phantoms. Geely, was it really that bad?
I haven't seen it. I can't.
It just wasn't a well-made movie.
Right. You know what was worse is he should have been run out of town on a rail for a paycheck.
Oh, my God. I just watched that the other day.
John movie. Now, that movie I could understand. Geely, it's a masterpiece compared to Paycheck.
You understood Paycheck? I didn't understand
He's a reverse engineer. He can reverse engineer anything.
What's the other one where the where he takes the car wreck one where he gets chased by Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah. What
Changing
is,
Lanes.
Changing Lanes.
That's a good flick, isn't it?
That is.
It's never, okay. It's pretty decent.
The Sum of All Fears, all that stuff. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, go see Gone Baby Gone. I heard it's good. And let's go ahead and get into our TiVo. We spent so much time on Ellen, we've lost a lot of show time. Let's make it up
crying
right here.
Crying on the inside for Iggy.
All right, there's our big shows that we always talk about, but we'll get to those in a bit after we talk about Britney being booked for hit and run.
Britney Spears gets booked on charges of hit and run, and she's clearly dressed for the occasion.
What the
hell? Last night around 9, L.A. station Fox 11 shot Britney arriving at a San Fernando Valley jail.
Are you nervous?
Where she was fingerprinted and photographed. We're told cops offered her a back entry.
She was fingerprinted and photographed?
The cops offered her a back entry.
So the always inappropriate pop rec chose to wear a dress so short, the photogs got a close-up they weren't even trying to get.
Didn't you see what here with the guys?
Play the kitty cat meow. This come is, on, go ahead.
This
play,
is a horrible.
For them to play it.
This is the TMZ show, which is horrible, by the way.
Oh, it's unbearable.
But the guy said that they offered her a back entry.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Wow, not even clever writing. My God, it's horrible.
Freaking sycophants.
So has she gotten out of jail yet for that?
I'm sure she has.
Why is it hit
there
and run?
There you go.
If you don't hit anyone, a person, and you drive away, why is that illegal? I mean, I can understand if you ran over someone and drove off, but if you hit a parked car and then drive home, what do you do? Sit around all night waiting for somebody to come along? You gotta go home.
Well, you put
right?
your you at least put your insurance information there.
But with her, it'd be kind of difficult.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, I think so. I don't claim to know, but I think, especially when there's cameras around recording it.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Yikes. Okay, talk about inappropriate. Richard Simmons was on Letterman, and he's one of those. He's always been great on Letterman or on Howard when he goes on there. Has he been on Howard in a long time?
Or? He has, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
They rekindled their friendship now that Simmons works at Sirius.
He gets pissed off at Letterman, too, because Letterman will just start in on it. And Letterman has a good point here. Listen to what he's getting at, and I think he's got a good question for Richard here.
What percentage of your day are you dressed like that, honestly? Is it all day? Is it just here? Like in the gym, when you go into the gym, is that what you wear? Is that what you wear in the gym? I mean, it's a fair question.
I thought we were supposed to have a rapport
tonight.
Well,
see, that's
and
the
all
problem.
You're doing is making fun of me. Why do you continually make fun of me? I never make fun of you. When people say, what's David like? I go, just like that. I say he's a wonderful, kind person. Mm-hmm. He's got a true heart.
I'm sorry, and I am trying. Believe me, I'm struggling with this. But let me...
No, wait a minute.
Let me put it to you in this perspective. We've been on the air in one form or another for about 26 years.
Yes.
And in that time, we have roughly 1,000 guests a year. That's 26,000 guests.
Yeah.
Nobody comes out wearing a tank top and shorts. You're the only one. I mean, let me break it to you this way. It hasn't caught on.
He's right. It hasn't caught on. He grosses me out in that outfit, man.
Oh, yeah. He wears those shorts that, like, I just, oh, my
were
God.
Were they the short shorts?
Yes. The short
what point his his old ass and hangy balls are going to be hanging out there?
He's got, like, the lame or something on his tank top. Sequins. So
I think
bad.
He uses the bedazzler.
But why do they even have him on the show? It's just to make fun of him. Doesn't Richard Simmons realize that?
That's what it's for.
That's the whole point. He does. It's all shtick.
It's like Eugene doesn't realize the only reason we have him on the show is to laugh at him. Don't tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him know that. But Bill,
I love Eugene.
Bill, I was finally watching Dancing with the Stars, and there's this thing happened, this controversy. And I'm going to play the clip, and you explain to me what the hell they're talking about, because I don't know anything about the dancing stuff, so let's check this out.
There was lots of controversy last night. You've had a chance to sleep on the whole lift thing. What's your take today?
Well, unfortunately, last night there were some lifts, and this is against the rules. So let's draw a line under it, turn the page, we are expecting no lifts from now on. If you do lifts, we will penalise you with our marks. And we don't want to do that. So please, please, cut out the lifts.
Okay.
Okay, Bill, explain to me what the hell a lift is.
Well, it's whenever they lift the other dancer.
But why
just
is that?
It's that simple.
But
they're not allowed in certain dances. And I believe Tony Devilani and what's the other chick's name that he dances with? Jane Seymour did a lift on one of their dances.
Is that and, mean? It's like
is you, that fancier?
Is it like you lift them up to help them through?
No, it means 2 feet have left the ground. Like he swung her around and they said that her feet were still dragging and they said they weren't. And
is it,
just,
be, is it kind of cheating because their feet should always be touching the ground because it's more challenging that way?
I guess, yeah. On certain, or I think it's just proper form on certain dances.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was stupid, but but the guy got really angry. The dancer, this Tony Devilani guy, he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. That was no lift." I mean, it was like an anger. Did they show anger?
Did they show an instant replay? And they're like, "Ah, see."
Yeah, they did. They did. They did. While they were getting judged, they brought up the tape and were like, "See, see."
He was like,
"See here." Feet are off the ground, see? See?
Now, guys, remember everyone was making a big to-do and la-di-da about who will replace Bob Barker on The Price is Right? And
yes.
They got Drew Carey to do it. And I say, what does that matter who hosts the show? It's the same stupid shit, right?
Yeah. Plinko.
Like, let's just check out this clip here and tell me if it's any different with would it matter who the hell hosted this? Rosie O'Donnell at one point? Her Ian Ziering, who cares? It's the same shit.
Dennis Miller? No.
Sounds the same to
okay.
me.
Yeah, still the same old screaming lady.
I love that music, though.
Does he have that giant microphone? Like
yeah,
Bob
that stick.
I love you, Drew. Thank you.
Yeah, the white stick
I
microphone.
Like a friend,
Dora. I don't want to hurt you. And I will. Take my...
I love you. Come here. Come here. We got something really nice for you. Rich, show us what's going
to
happen.
You have a chance to win up to $16,000.
Yes!
This is worth $16,000 right here. Aura, you have $8,000. You're going to be risking it all if you go for the $16,000.
I say go for it.
Oh, yeah!
I could host the show. Anybody could. But I would be afraid of those people whenever they call them up on stage and they're like, "What? Get the hell away from me!"
I would have liked
Ian
Ziering. That was the best thing though about Bob Barker. Whenever like they would go to kiss him, he'd be like, "No,
he's like, whoa, yeah."
Remember, he was a frail old man at the end.
You gotta break something.
Yeah, but that was the funnest part.
But guys, television does get better than that because The Bachelor. He picked his true love. Let's check it out.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not looking for a friend. I am. I'm looking for a wife.
All I can say
on
is...
national television.
The connection that I feel with this person...
Where else?
...is yeah. a genuine and true connection. And on that note, Deanna, will you accept this rose?
Yes! You win $16,000!
It's Drew Carey, and he'll tell you what you won!
Now on to the Showcase Showdown!
You're a really, really wonderful guy.
You're sure a romantic
thank you,
like.
You're a wonderful guy.
I want you to know I think you're an amazing
you're
person.
You're a fancy
really
lady.
I like you too.
I'm actually really shocked to be going home. I guess he can only go with what his heart feels and his connection or whatever. I just really, really wish...
It actually has more to do with his penis,
that he
but
could have seen through
other than
her.
That...
They always talk to the girl who didn't get picked, and she's like, if he only knew her true... she's a bitch. Why didn't he pick me? It's like, haven't you watched this show before, lady? It's not going to work out. Just
yeah.
another horrible season of a stupid-ass show that women can't get enough of. You know, I'm not trying to be sexist here, but they want to see romance or something, right? Is that why they're watching this?
Yes.
Like, oh,
true love.
But it'll
so
last
romance.
6 months, and then it's over.
Yeah, I think the only relationship that's actually lasted is one of those from The Bachelor, Or I think it was The Bachelorette, actually, one of the women ones.
Now, Steven, have I ever told you this?
I want you to know I think you're an amazing person. I really do.
Well, that is an incredible brush off. I mean, that is the,
but it's just
the
not
ultimate.
Work out.
The moment you hear that, it's like you might as well play the friggin' bell.
Yeah.
It's for who the bell tolls. It's, I think you're a wonderful person.
Have you guys
but
have you guys ever checked out The Biggest Loser?
Yes.
This week, a big loser got really irritable because he was walking on the treadmill too slow, not getting his heart rate up, and he kind of lost it. Let's check it out.
I walked by Cowboy on the treadmill and saw he was walking at 2.5. 2.5 is not hacking it for walking on the treadmill. Now, when you walk at 3.0.
If you don't move, you're going to lose a damn finger. I'm serious.
Whoa. He just came in and kept punching on my treadmill, and I said, look, I know what my body can do at this point, and I know how to push my body.
Obviously,
I'm not in the mood to play games.
I know how to push Twinkies down my throat.
Where's my barbecue?
No, I'm going to shut up and let you do it. I'm going to coach you all the way till you're blue in the face.
He was not ready for me to push him, and he didn't want to be pushed. Sorry, that's my job. I'm your trainer, and I'm going to push you. Is that much different than where you were talking at?
No. Stop. Just stop. I was in here. I was working out. I'm doing fine. Just stop.
I know. No, I'm not going to stop.
Then I'll work out outside.
No, you're not. Work out where I tell you to work out. No. Don't tell me how to
work. No, nobody talks to me like that.
Don't tell me how to work you out when I'm your trainer and I ask
nobody
you to
talks
walk
to me
at
like
3.0
that.
And not 2.5.
Nobody talks to me like that.
That's what's going to help you.
Nobody
talks right
cowboy
there.
Like
allowing
that.
Allowing your trainer to push you.
I'm going to
lasso you and tie your legs up.
It's hard to run in cowboy boots. Damn it.
I like he goes, I know how to push my body. I know what my limitations are. It's like, dude, you weigh 500 pounds. You don't know how to push your body. Yeah, you do on mass, but not exercise. I like the dude's just like walking.
I can push a lot of space.
Yeah. So that's Biggest Loser. I'd like to watch more.
She's ready
stop.
To eat her
stop.
Finger off.
Stop. No, uppity bitch.
Did everyone get to watch Kitchen Nightmares this week?
No.
Oh, Steven,
yes.
No.
I have it TV'd, so I'll watch it.
You
when
missed
I go
a good
home.
One.
Oh, that helps.
But you can't talk about it right now.
I'm sorry. I know we had a lot of work.
But
this
you
week.
Know the formula, though, right?
Yes.
Gordon Ramsay goes
crappy
in.
Restaurant.
And the restaurant was beautiful from the outside, wasn't it, Bill? The problem was the food.
Yeah.
The food was really bland.
Really beautiful old stone mill.
You know, I could relate to the owner a lot. His biggest fear was failure. And that's I really psyched myself out on a lot of things. So I felt similar to this guy. He'd worked so hard on the appearance of the restaurant. He didn't really work as hard on the other things that matter.
Like the people,
his employees or the food. Didn't you love Gordon Ramsay always orders the crab cakes. And,
yeah, it's like every restaurant has friggin' crab cakes.
Yeah, and he asks if is this fresh, and they say yes, but it's from a can. He could tell right away, of course.
Yes, it's fresh from a can, sir. It was just freshly opened, the can.
Yeah, and he asks, like, he orders a salad, and the salad is cone-shaped. What the chef does, or whoever makes the salad, they put it into a funnel and then dump it on the plate so it's, like, cone-shaped. And he goes, what the hell is this? Why is it shaped like this? And he's like, well, I hate to tell you, but our customers love this. And he's like, they do, right?
It's our specialty conehead salad.
We have the special volcano salad here.
I love it. He goes, I'm going to show you a different kind of salad. And he goes, you do this. Huh, there you go. No cone needed. And he uses a torch and he melts the funnels. But the guy was like, oh, I get what you're saying. A salad's a salad. You don't need to foof it up to make it look like something else. And Gordon, I like how they did this. They haven't done it on all of them. He goes off and explores and comes back. But they showed him looking around at all the restaurants, Bill, and saw that there was no steakhouse in town. And he even goes into the butcher. And he says, yeah, people love their steaks. You know, we sell a lot of meat here. But there's no steak restaurant. We could be the supplier.
Nice.
So he gives him that. And didn't you love that Gordon Ramsay? On the most other episodes, he goes, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this. And they go, yeah. The guy's like, I don't know, man. I don't think that's going to work. I don't know.
Yes, he was such a stubborn ass.
I know. First of all, he said, the people that are used to our menus, they're not going to like it. It's like, dude, you've got no business. Who cares about that? Those four people.
You're failing miserably.
The 6 to 8 people that come in here.
Yeah, so they decide to
do... From the old folks home.
They decide to do steak, and of course they do the first, like, here's the big night, guys. Let's see how this works. And of course, everything goes haywire. And they did the thing again, Bill, where... The owner loses his cool with the chef, and he's yelling. And they show clips of patrons outside kind of turning their head like they hear it. But you get a feeling that's all manipulated editing.
I'm sure.
It's like somebody probably dropped a play, you know, and they cut the sound down and they turned their head.
In some of the clips, you see people talking and laughing, and some of the people are turning their head like they hear them going, what the F? And there's people laughing in the background. Obviously, they just took clips of people glancing around and stuff.
Yeah, they probably go, hey, can you look over here?
I mean, I wish Gordon Ramsay would do something about the editing, because I know he cares a lot about food, and he needs to go, you're making my show crap with this crappy editing. Just stop.
I mean, you know what? I don't doubt he will eventually.
Did they do that on the BBC one? I haven't.
No. There was never anything like that.
It's just, yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes.
Because they did the same things on Hell's Kitchen, you know, with the customers like, my food, it's cold. Taste this. You ought to send it back. Okay, I'm sending it back.
Did you notice it was the same people the next night?
Yeah, when Gordon witnesses their dinner time where it's busy, and then later on when they did the steak night, the new menu, it was all the same people.
Actors.
Or did they say
really, really sloppy?
Yeah, and there was because the reason you notice is the same lady. She had a real rosy cheek complexion.
Yeah, she had rosacea.
Yeah, she had rosacea. And both times, the camera focused on her. It's like, my food's cold. And the next time, she's like, I'll have the steak tartare or something. I don't know. But isn't that supposed to be cold?
I don't know. It's uncooked steak.
Yeah.
This steak is cold and raw. I ordered steak tartare.
But anyway, I mean, the show's fun, but I notice the same pattern every week because...
Yeah.
Even Gordon Ramsay did some kind of fair after the restaurant was a success. He sponsored.
Well, you know
something.
What's funny with this is they are obsessed with showing him taking off his shirt and putting on.
They do
before his jacket.
Before every big night, he goes, "All right, what we're gonna do? Let me just take my shirt off and
look at my man breasts and my hairy chest."
Every week, I see his hairy chest every week.
Aren't I manly?
And I'm not complaining. I mean, what? What the hell is it? Huh?
It's a sex bot.
They need to play that music as he's taking his shirt off.
Here's what we're coming to do. I like the manager that was overly effeminate with the parted hair, and he sweated like a freaking beast.
And he goes, dude, do something about your sweating. Go in the bathroom and do something about your sweating. And as he's walking out, he goes, man, he stinks. He's talking about, what's that? They show Gordon Ramsay, goes, what's that smell? And they show the guy, and he's like, oh, man, I'm just, it's like, dude, did you wear deodorant? Because you can still sweat and not stink.
Right.
There were people like that, like, when I went to high school, there was a kid that named Jeremy that would just sweat up a storm, and he stunk so bad. It was like whenever you're driving past road work on a hot day, like that stench of like blacktop. It was just so bad.
I'm a sweater in summertime and I don't stink like that. I'm sure someone would tell me you just wear deodorant.
Some people just stink when they
Maybe
sweat.
It could be, you know, like
what
a lot
they
of
eat,
the foods
they
eat.
Sweat.
Yeah, like a chemical imbalance or something.
I think you're
I don't
an amazing
know.
Person. I really do.
Maybe this guy, this manager guy. He's, like, eating a lot of asparagus or
garlic,
and it's coming out of his pores, and everyone's
or
like,
penis.
Just nasty. Okay, let's go ahead and get to heroes, because we're spending a lot of time on this. heroes. My favorite storyline this week was probably the Siler hitching a ride with the Mexican
killers.
Kids.
The Mexican killers.
Homicidia, or whatever. Didn't you know that?
Ay, Dios mío.
The guy was like, hey, Gabriel, check it out. They're killers. We got to do something. Didn't you know right away? That guy's dead.
Yeah,
you go make a phone call.
Sign your fate there, bub.
You go make a phone call while I pick this brick up and follow you in the room.
What are you doing with that brick? Oh, I need it for strategic weight purposes.
But you know when he's like, you guys explain this, you're killers, what's going on? And she starts freaking out, and he's like, what are you doing to me? Yeah. And then, you know, he brings her back from the brink of killing him or whatever, and he's like, wow, you guys have powers. I almost wish he would have said, you guys have really sucky power. So anyway, I got to go, all right? Later. Yeah.
You know, thanks, like, Wonder Twins. Later.
I don't want that power. What?
What is that?
You cry, and then shit comes out your eyes, and people fall unconscious, and then he brings you out of it, and they wake up. I don't understand that. The one girl, the black girl, Micah, he's staying with his cousins in New Orleans.
The Taskmaster.
on the set of K-ville. Yeah, she has the power of the Taskmaster in Marvel Comics.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, is this a book in the Avengers?
Because I love, there's a villain called the Taskmaster, and he can, basically, if Captain America fights him, he can do everything Captain America does just by watching his moves and stuff. He can,
and then he teaches his lackeys how to use the techniques that he learned. So
basically, you see where she's watching a cooking show and cutting a tomato into rows, and later on, I love when that guy comes to rob the place. Wasn't that a rapper, some rap guy? Is that Ice?
Common?
Ice-T?
Nas?
No, yeah, not. Was that Nas ripping off the place?
Most Def? No, wait, he's doing movies now.
But I love that spin kick thing she does. She grabs it and goes, whoop-bam!
Kicks him right through that glass.
Yeah, that was great. But also the stuff with Molly. Is that the little girl's name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Parkman finds out that the scary guy's his dad.
Yeah.
What was that about? I noticed, wasn't that Joanna, what's her name, Zora from Blade Runner in the picture?
You know what? It looked like it.
I think it is. So I guess she's going to be, what's her name, Joanna what? Somebody help me in the chat room.
I can't remember. And they won't help because we're 30 seconds behind.
Yeah.
You're useless, chat room, useless.
That's not true. They'll catch up. But what did you think? Are you guys loving West? Isn't he dreamy?
Nice.
They go to the Hollywood sign, and it looks like Claire's going to be a cheerleader
again. They flew a long way from Northern California to Southern California.
Yeah, that dude gets around. Didn't you love?
Yeah, and then that's also a really long drop that she was going through
there. I didn't understand that scene because he's like, you've got to be honest with me. You know, come on, let down your guard. And she's like, okay, well, here, I'm going to show you how I plummet to my death. Oh, that made... Why? What? No, that's not what I mean. I mean, talk to me about stuff. You don't have to show me how you can fall down and not die. I don't care about that.
Trust me. Jump. Jump. It's like those people that encourage people to jump off bridges. Jump. Jump. Jump.
Didn't you love when Nathan's like, hey, kids, you like my beard? And they're like, no.
No. No. It's scary.
So cut to... He shaved it. It's like, my boys don't like it. I have no reason to keeping it. But
you're creepy, Daddy.
You look really psycho hanging out by our school, Dad.
You look
Dad.
Like a pedophile.
Yeah. But I do love Matt hanging out with Nathan and telling him, hey, I can read your mind. I like that, you know, interaction. And Bill, next week, Kristen Bell is finally on the show, which will be cool.
Oh, boy. I can't wait.
I wonder what her power is going to be. Because I think the Taskmaster girl, the black girl, she's got a cool power. That's a really cool power.
That is.
I hope they bring in, because let's face it, so comic books have pretty much thought of every power you can think of pretty much. So anyone has, you'll be like, oh, that reminds me of this or this.
Yeah, at this point, it's you can only come up with like an amalgamation of different characters' powers.
The idea is doing it where it's cool. Like, I don't know where Siler's going with this, because we learned last week that he can't use his powers anymore.
He ain't got shite.
Yeah, and so he's hanging out with these twins to, you know, in case his power comes back, or...
Well, Siler's the new Gleek.
I love Gleek.
Yeah, so he's going to degenerate into a monkey.
I love when she goes, Gabriel, like the angel, and he goes, yeah, like the angel. And he's like, like
I was waiting for the cackle.
I like when he looks, what's your name? And they pan down to his broken watch.
He's like, Gabriel.
Gabriel.
No, he should have been Grant. Grant Gabriel. Yeah, see? Grant Gabriel. You seem like
you got a great story here, kids. Yeah.
So, yeah, stuff comes out your eyes, and people fall unconscious, and your brother brings you out. So, yeah, that sounds like a good story.
Great stories. Front page stuff there.
We're going to get Chloe Sullivan on this.
Ta-cha-cha-cha.
We're going to dance the Jitterbug.
Let me get some milk.
We're going to do the Charleston. So anyway, yeah, gotta love it. You know what?
Smallville. I want to combine the two. Gotta combine Heroes and Smallville.
I'm really pissed. There's no Grant Gabriel this week on Smallville. Bastards!
I know. I felt gypped, but we did get Dean Cain.
Yes. No, the evil Dean Cain.
The immortally evil Dean Cain.
Okay, Dean Cain has figured out a way to cure meteor freaks. So Chloe's like, I really think that I should do that. And her explanation to Clark for wanting to do this made no sense. She said,
"No.
Well, when I saved Lois's life, it almost killed me. What if I do that again and I try to save somebody?" It's like, well, shouldn't you be happy you're saving someone's life?
Selfish much, you bitch.
Yeah, it's like, what? I didn't.
And then he's like, but you won't remember me. Oh, I'll have people to lead me through when I come back. Like, okay, you know what? Fuck you. I ain't doing anything for you, honey. You don't have to remember me. Bite my ass.
I kept a journal.
And she's got like one of the only like decent powers from a meteor freak. She can heal people instead of fucking using them for evil or killing people.
Yeah,
or,
she says that,
I can sick bees on you.
Yeah, she
what's a momentary lapse in life?
Right, she says I don't want to one day go serial killer. It's like, why would you?
What are you going to do?
You're going to cry on people and bring them back to life?
Your glowing tear? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, how is that bringing people to life, serial killer? Wait,
the writers just needed her to go see Dean Cain, basically.
Yeah.
And what he's trying to do is he's...
Now, how are we going to get her to see Dean Cain here?
But what I love is basically he's killing people and burying them, but Lex catches him in the act. Let's see what happens. It's badass.
I applaud your ingenuity, Doctor. After mulching the body into the fertilizer supply, by week's end, her DNA will be spread over every cornfield in Kansas.
Oh, Lex.
Powerful.
If only
ethanol.
You were a typical rich kid chasing women across the globe instead of dabbling with science that you don't understand.
Your killing spree stops right now. I'm not going to let you hurt one more person.
Countless patients are living new lives with no idea what you did to them thanks to me.
How about the ones you murdered?
They're the chosen few. The reason I created a cure and came knocking at your door. Because I knew that somewhere in your museum of oddities, I would find the ones I was looking for.
Your practice is closed, Doctor. You come one step closer, and I swear to God, I will shoot you.
No, do it.
I'm quaking in my boots.
Jeez, empty the clip on him. He's dead.
I think he's got a couple more bullets
son
left. You might as well unload them.
That son of a bitch.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors, survived Mongols' arrows, and the cold steel of Crusaders' blades.
Oh, cold steel.
I can heal just like the people on Heroes.
Of a 9mm could slow me down.
I've had a cat busted in my ass in Compton.
Don't you actually, it was a .44, but who's counting?
What's funny is Lex says, hey, stop right there, I'll shoot. He doesn't, like, just shoot him once to see the reaction. He just unloads on the dude. It's like, he's probably a werewolf or something. I'll shoot him in the heart 6 times.
6 shots. I will take no chances of him attacking me.
But I love Dean Cain's reaction.
Son of a bitch.
I would say the
you
same
know,
thing.
Dean Cain was really good in that Out of Time with Denzel Washington. What is he doing this shit? I mean, really. You're a good actor, bud. You don't need to be doing this garbage.
But I loved...
They had to have every Superman on here.
Yeah, that's what it was about. Because they had Christopher Reeve on.
Unfortunately, they couldn't have George Reeves.
Next week or the week after, they're going to have Helen Slater, George. Supergirl, on the show.
Nice.
Helen Slater.
So
Helen Slater and a resurrected George Reeves from Chloe.
Well, what's weird is Lex says he wakes up in the hospital and he goes... How ironic, Clark, that it'd be you that would save my life. And he's like, yeah, but I had to take a life, whatever. And he goes, no, he's not dead. He's immortal. But why didn't Lex go, hey, how did you show up and save my life? What?
Oh, it's moot point. It's
how did you get the best of this immortal guy and think you killed him? Huh? I don't know you have powers or you're from Krypton, so I guess I'm not questioning this right now because it's not in the script. Did that make any sense to you guys?
No. But when does Smallville make sense?
But I'm thinking the writers got confused. Now that Lana knows he has powers, everyone knows. But no, they don't. Ah, crap, we messed up. But I also love when she makes breakfast in the morning, some bacon. It was lovely. And
super bacon.
Then the Martian Manhunter shows up and ruins breakfast. I was like, nobody got to eat breakfast.
He ran all the way to Vermont for syrup.
He's like, don't trust Kara. Her dad was an asshole. It's like, hey, that doesn't mean she is too, does it?
Not really.
But I love how
Martian Manhunter holds grudges.
She's like, who are you going to trust? Family? Me? Or this Martian Manhunter? That's like, hey, that's all okay.
Wink, hint, nudge.
The best, okay, how close does Kryptonite have to be to affect Clark is what I want to know. Like
3 feet, 6 feet.
Yeah, because I swear it's not consistent at all on the show.
No.
Because they even show, like, he goes there to fight the good doctor.
Yeah.
He's too tables.
Chloe's like, oh, I'll just push this to the other side of the room. He's like, oh, I'm good, Chloe. But I'm skipping my favorite scene. He teams up with Lex to figure out. He goes, hey, Clark, I had these pictures sent to my phone. Check it out. Here he is. Here he is as General Custer in the... Here he is at the Alamo.
Napoleon.
Yeah, here he is. He's Napoleon. And let's just... Beep, 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 beep. Oh, here he is. He's in the Stone Age. He's fighting a dinosaur. And he's like, oh, my God.
Here's my sprint photo library.
Yeah. But it's even better. She goes, who do you think you are, Jack the Ripper? Actually, I was. Oh, my God. He was Jack the Ripper.
He takes forever to plunge that carving knife into her chest.
I know!
Whatever happened to using a scalpel?
But what's even more disturbing is that he starts to stab her and you see blood. It's like, Clark, you're a little late. She's like, Because I don't care if the guy didn't kill me, but if he got close enough to cut me, I would still have nightmares about it, wouldn't you? Dean Cain would shove a knife through my
shirt. My favorite about to cut her open, you know, but she's still wearing the bra, you know. It's like, he's just going to cut right through it.
Well, it's like the previous victim. She's there in her bra, and it's like, okay.
And by the way, that previous victim, impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys recognize her as the B-girl from earlier seasons or anything?
No, yeah. I didn't. Yeah.
At all.
One
thing I thought was funny is she goes, I don't remember the last 6 years, Chloe. And I was like, wow, lucky her. She doesn't remember the entire run of Smallville. He's done a great service.
My favorite part of the entire show, though, was Dean Cain putting on his leather apron to classical music. Like,
yes, I look good in my leather apron.
She's like, I have healing powers. Surgery. I can heal her if you want. And he goes, no, she's just perfectly fine. I put her into a coma.
Until I can make her perfect.
So what is he doing? He's putting hearts in jars?
Well, he's Dr. Frankenstein.
I would assume he's trying to make her immortal, too.
Wouldn't that have been great if he had an Igor? But wasn't it awkward at the end? His girlfriend dies, and he's just sitting there, and Clark is standing there like, oh, my God, she's dead. I don't even know who she is, but I'm upset. And Dean Cain turns around, and he's got a tear coming from his eye. He's so sad. And then cut to the barn, and everything's okay. And you're like, huh? What just happened here? What happened to Dean Cain?
Where did he go?
But then Martian Manhunter shows up and he's like, what did you do with the immortal guy? He's like, me and your dad had an arrangement. We don't really talk about it. And I'm not telling you either, bitch. I was like, wow, okay.
Biznitch. Smarty pants.
I do like when Lana says, oh, I guess you're from Krypton too. And he goes, actually Mars.
I like her expression on her face.
That was the most real expression she's ever had on the show.
It looks so confused, wow, what?
This is the most natural reaction she's ever given on the show. Like,
I don't understand at all.
I'm just going to go.
Natural, because that's how she looks all the time.
I'm going to just go confused. To Smallville and check my P.O. box. Oh, wait, we forgot out the best part. She's got a secret room with monitors watching Lex at all times. What the hell was that?
And she's got $10 million
she's lying about.
But I love how she's flipping switches and you see different monitors and there's Lex typing away on his laptop.
Well, I was waiting for the Enigma music. Like it was a sliver.
I'm just going to put on some, you know, Enya as I type on my laptop. So that's Smallville this week. It's awesome.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
Yeah, but have you had a clip emptied in you with my Beretta, bitch?
By Lex Luthor?
I love that. The personal
Saturday Night Special.
We're running a little late. I don't know whose fault it is.
And I feel totally responsible for it.
Ellen,
so
no, it's no, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yes, it is. Don't humor her.
She's just a mess. Poor Iggy. He was supposed to be on the show, but he couldn't make it. Now, Bill, let's do the news. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
This is a big oh no's. The FBI is investigating David Copperfield, and it turns out part of the investigation involves a sexual misconduct claim.
Okay.
So the source said the alleged incident occurred outside the U.S., but it's within the FBI's jurisdiction because the accuser is a U.S. citizen. Copperfield's lawyer is saying that there is an investigation and there are allegations, but they are false allegations.
Say it isn't so, David.
Mm-hmm. A Las Vegas warehouse operated by Copperfield was raided by 12 agents, a computer, hard drive, digital camera system, and nearly $2 million in cash were seized.
Wow.
Holy shit. What the hell is he keeping $2 million in a warehouse for?
Guess he needs
He's
going to
buy those secret tricks.
Spending money?
You know, in when, cash, yeah. You know, it's when, petty cash.
When you have, like, say you have $2 million held up somewhere. Say he's had it in there for 20 years, and then they go through where they put out new money and stuff. Is that money still good 20
yeah.
years
yeah,
later?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Even it's not if, like it's Confederate money.
Oh, okay. Because I just wondered because of, like, you know, that movie Dead Presidents, where they burn the old money.
Oh, jeez, yeah. No, I think it's fine. I don't understand why he'd keep $2 million in cash, you know, not in a bank, you know, accruing interest.
Maybe he's going to use it for a magic trick or something.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I was kind of wondering if maybe it was like...
it's petty cash, you know, spending around the globe cash, like, he's traveling.
It's like if when he's traveling doing his shows, you know, and you, like, buying T-shirts and crap, you know. just, no, I'm just saying, you know, something along that lines, but, you know, who
and
knows.
And after the show, you can go to our gift shop backstage.
Buy this card trick.
If you don't move, you're going to lose the damn finger. I'm serious.
A Vatican official suspended after being caught on hidden camera making advances to a young man said in an interview published Sunday he's not gay and was only pretending to be gay as a part of his work.
Joke here.
Wow. Yeah, he's just pretending.
It was a sting, a Vatican sting operation.
Get that
Monsignor
guy from
Tommaso
NBC.
Steneko said he frequented online gay chat rooms and met with gay men as a part of his work as a psychoanalyst.
Sure.
He said that he pretended to be gay in order to gather information about those who damage the image of the church with homosexual activity. You know what's funny is during this episode of Smallville, there was a bit of a gay reference in there whenever Jimmy got that guy tickets to some show. And he's
Oh,
man, I'm scoring major points with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Insert inappropriate joke here.
My favorite quote of this entire story, it's all false. It was a trap.
It's
I was a victim of my own attempts to contribute to cleaning up the church with my psychoanalyst work.
It says clergyman Akbar.
Wasn't that the same excuse the Who player guitar player gave?
Yeah, I was researching child abuse.
Here's what you do. You hire somebody else who does that professionally to do it for you. Like, hire, like, a detective or something, or hire someone who... Don't do it yourself. Don't put it on your computer. Yeah. But the reason you didn't do that is because you're lying. You know?
It's a gay trap.
Exactly.
Hey, how many stories have I done about some idiot running into a canine training facility?
At least one.
Yeah, Parchment, Michigan, a robbery suspect in Parchment took a wrong turn and wound up right in the hands of the law. Around noon Thursday, police say a man left to save a lot with stolen groceries. During his getaway, he ran straight into a canine training course for the Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety's canine team. He tried to run off, but with five canines fresh off their training, it didn't take long to track the suspect down. The man now faces shoplifting charges.
And this is a different story than you did a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. And do you remember the one before I did a couple weeks ago was the story about the people taking the copper pipe and they got into the – that was in Georgia. And, I mean, people are just so dumb. Dumb.
Stay away from these dog training facilities. Apparently they're on every corner like Starbucks now.
Yeah, police dog training course.
And Iggy's there. I miss Iggy. Let Iggy
Iggy's the watchdog.
He's learning to be a police dog.
And I feel totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, Ellen, it's okay.
And it looks like the Kentucky University is under attack by squirrels.
Oh, dear.
Power went out in parts of the central campus at about 4 p.m. yesterday after a squirrel chewed through electrical wiring. The outage occurred in Building 3. It is the third time this semester a squirrel chewing through wiring has led to power failure.
You know how you handle that problem? Go outside.
Hilarious.
Target practice.
Either the squirrel really likes that cable. But wait a second. If it chewed through a power cable, wouldn't it fry itself?
You would think so.
It's three different squirrels on suicide missions to take out the power.
The squirrel was depressed.
Yeah.
I'm going to end it all. But first I need to chew through tasty wire.
They wouldn't accept my tuition here. Couldn't get into college.
Damn you, Dean Werber. The mother of a 2-year-old Wisconsin boy shared a marijuana blunt with her child as friends laughed, filmed the child smoking, and asked, "Hey, buddy, are you stoned?" Crystal Lee Weber, 20, was charged yesterday along with two male friends with pot possession and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Weber was also hit with a child neglect rap, also a misdemeanor. According to a circuit court complaint, after a confidential source told police about the smoking incident, cops seized a cell phone from the defendant, Sean Held, 19, and discovered three videos of the August incident. On the clips, the boy is seen holding and apparently puffing on a blunt and staggering around a bedroom in what appears to be a confused and altered state. In a police interview, Weber, who is, what does it say, pictured above, I'm going to have to put this picture up, she's not bad, said that the initially rejected Held suggestion to have her son hit it, but eventually relented and agreed to let the 2-year-old take a small one. The complaint notes that Weber told police that she knew what she did was wrong and she would do anything to keep her son, and include giving him pot.
Have you ever considered therapy?
Hey, buddy, are you stoned? Look at him. He's staggering around. That's hilarious. Unbelievable.
It's like when people give their animals beer. I guess it's not as bad that way. Like,
Then your dog will just grow a large gray stripe on its back and fly.
If you give
and crash Oktoberfest.
Eh? Yeah. Do you think Iggy's ever been given beer? Like, that's really what Ellen did? That's what the dog was.
Well, that's how he's super. He's super Iggy.
Super Iggy.
A candidate in Hialeah, Florida, is forced to defend a crude election slogan. Hialeah City Council incumbent Jose Pepe Carrigal, 76, used the slogan, "If you like oral sex, vote Carrigal for council," as part of his campaign for re-election. Wow. The slogan, which Carrigal has uttered in Spanish during several TV and radio appearances, was quickly criticized by his campaign opponent. "We should expect more out of our elected officials. Is this supposed to be the person who is representing the best of Hialeah on the council?" Hey, you know what? if he likes oral sex and we like oral sex, then you know what? He's the right guy for the job.
Okay.
Wow. Some things that people will do. I mean, I wonder if he thinks he's being, like, clever to say it in Spanish on TV.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
This is interesting. Have you ever felt like trying to jump off a building in your underpants? Because you may survive, according to this story. An Australian man dressed only in his underpants survived a fall from his ninth-story apartment when an apparent incident of hijinks went badly wrong. The 35-year-old was attempting to build planks across to a neighbor's apartment when he lost his footing and plummeted 100 feet to the ground. The man crashed through an iron and timber pergola, which I'm guessing is a gazebo. He was skylarking around, building planks across to his neighbor's place when it happened. Police spokesman Ross Weatherall said it was very lucky. One of the apartment complex people said that he woke to find police tending to a scantily clad man in the apartment's courtyard. He was conscious. He was going, where am I? What happened? And that was about it. It was a horrendous fall because he actually came down 9 stories. No shit. The man was taken to hospital where he's in stable condition with cuts and suspected broken leg. Western Australian Police Inspector John Gibson said he first thought the man would have been a goner.
Now this, for me, it's, yeah, woo.
This is really frightening. An elderly person was horrified when a strapping 6-foot sex change carer turned up to bathe her. Frail Kathy Yates, 88, specifically requested a female to assist her at home. Daughter Kathleen, 48, fumed when the carer came through the door. I nearly keeled over. It looked like a man dressed as a woman. Talk about an overdose of makeup. He was 6 foot with badly bleached blonde hair. He had shoes that must have been size 11, huge hands, and insisted I call him Sue.
Where she grabbed her.
Whoa.
The carer said he moved from Cornwall to Blackpool Lancs to start a new life after his operation. Kathleen, who is filing an official complaint, added, "It's all very well to have equal rights, but we asked for a female. Mum has dignity and doesn't want a man dressed as a woman to help her."
It's a very sexy thought.
He got his gloves out and said, "Right, are we ready for a bath?" My mom was in shock and kept blessing herself. I said, "You won't be showering my mother, sonny boy." The carer returned to Kathy's days later, but fled after a row, which is a fight. Blackpool Council said Sue had been female legally for more than a year. The spokesman added, "It's unlawful for her to be treated in any other way." This looks like friggin' Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor from Doctor Who. I mean,
where
this guy is
go to die.
Friggin' ugly.
Yikes!
Yes, he's a female, I guess. Milwaukee police are looking for a cross-dressing robber. Two men, one of whom was dressed as a woman for a robbery, police say the two walked into a business in the 3500 block of West Capitol Drive a little after noon on Tuesday. The two got away with money. Today, one of the guys is black, about 5 feet, 150 pounds, with a slim build and a dark complexion. He was wearing a red bandana and a black jacket. The man who was dressed as a woman is also black. Police say he's in his 30s, about 6'3 and 300 pounds. He was wearing a denim skirt, red lipstick, black coat, and a black and blonde wig.
Holy shit.
I want a picture of this dude, because he probably looks a lot like the last guy. 6 foot three, 300
Maybe
pounds.
Maybe it is the same guy, the tranny?
Yeah, but the other guy was in England in white. This guy's in Milwaukee in black.
He likes to
Maybe
travel.
They're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Now, this is great. In Waltham, Massachusetts, city officials offered a stern warning to liquor license holders to have inspections up to date and prepare for a series of tests police will conduct to make sure servers don't break the law. So I guess they started sending people out to make sure these people aren't selling liquor to people that are already drunk. So they hired actors and they sent the actors in, and the actors, you know, act drunk and get served and all that. And then at the meeting, where the people that were called in that served these actors asked why they did it, the people said that they thought the actors were special needs or mentally retarded, and that's why they served them. They didn't believe they were drunk. So that's some top-notch acting there, people.
Wow.
It's Master Blaster trying to get a drink.
It's not illegal to serve a retarded man a drink.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry. We thought he was retarded, not drunk.
I've got an issue here.
Now, this is the last story is just cherry on top. Poor Philadelphia. Philadelphia has the ugliest people in the country, according to Travel and Leisure magazine.
Wow.
Of the 25 major American cities ranked by citizen attractiveness, Philadelphia finished dead last. According to 60,000 residents to the magazine's online survey, Philadelphians are slightly more repulsive than Washingtonians, Dallasites, and San Antonians.
Drawing
but
the line
way
of
uglier
insanity.
Than Miamians, San Diegoans, and Charlestonians. This is the city of Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Grace Kelly, said City Council Frank DeCiccio. Are they saying we've morphed into ugly people over the last few decades?
What's the point?
So, Fabian's quite a while ago, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. Fabian, Frankie Avalon, and Grace Kelly. Aren't they all dead?
What is this
Frankie
guy
Frankie Avalon
into?
Might be alive.
I wonder what time period this guy...
I know. So DeCiccio took issue with the Travel and Leisure, ranking Miami's beautiful people number one. My oldest son, the dentist, has a condo in Miami, so I've been to South Beach a few times. Most people are walking around in thongs, so everybody looks good there, but who can tell who lives there and who's just visiting? We have cold weather here, so we're walking around for months with our noses running and our cheeks red and fur caps on our heads.
That's all, I mean, yeah, it's a... very cold
How
place.
You see what we look like under all that clothing. They've got to be kidding. Give me a break. This guy.
Maybe they went there during the summer.
Why does he even care?
I know. Why is he giving any attention to this? Rick Voper, senior stylist, the Adolph Becker Spa Salon on Rittenhouse Square, where he's been enhancing the natural beauty of Philadelphians for 31 years, said, I'm going to disagree with the idea of ugly Philadelphians. I think we're much more diverse, more multicultural with our appearance than the synthetically pretty people of South Beach.
Calling me crap is the pot, calling the kettle black.
Yeah. And recently they were also ranked as the fattest. So, not only the ugly,
they're getting
fat,
a lot of love.
Fat.
You people are all fat and ugly.
Fat, ugly people.
I read it here in this article.
Yeah, this article says you're fat and ugly.
This whole town's going to the next biggest loser contest.
Biggest loser, Philadelphia. And you're all losers because
you
you're all ugly.
I think you're an amazing person. I really do.
Oh, Radio Dan said Fabian's not dead. Well, he should be.
Oh, my God. Bill, what are you saying? The Fabian!
Well, we know Grace Kelly's dead.
You just got done playing Halo, and he asked you what time it was.
Yes, I'm very angry.
Hey,
still.
Sonny, you have the time? Oh, shit! Oh, oh.
He started singing one of his songs.
You just killed Fabian!
Thought you were an alien. Sorry. Should have studied the pattern of my brain first before you asked me what time it was.
Yes, they need to scan children's brains before they leave the house after playing Halo. Yeah. Now, hold on, Sonny. We need to make sure you don't kill anyone.
Son of a bitch!
Digging for that clip there?
All right, Bill, what else we got?
That's it for the news this week.
Awesome. Thanks for doing the news.
No problem.
How about, let's get into some DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs, DVDs. DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, Ascended Definition. DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, baby, the DVDs!
Huh.
Okay. All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
Okay.
Okay. Tuesday, October 23rd, 2007. We're starting off with 10 questions for the Dalai Lama. I don't know what the 10 questions are, but I'm sure they're interesting and insightful. And the Dalai Lama is a very smart man who feeds people bullshit. So there you go. Maybe Richard Gere will be there with his gerbil Lemmy Winks.
Lemmy Winks?
Lemmy Winks! 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Sorry. Lemmy Winks is a hamster that had to make his way through a hole.
By Mayan warriors.
Yes. Mayan warriors.
2001 A Space Odyssey Special Edition DVD, HD DVD, and Blu-ray. So if you want your full-on Star Child Arthur C. Clarke boring
Stanley
thing.
Kubrick.
Yeah, well.
That's one of his
I
movies.
I love how they call
actually
it dazzling.
They brought him back dazzling. From the dead to do a commentary.
Yes.
Freaking boring.
I actually like 2001 compared to a lot of his
really
other films. I mean, yeah, it's really long. It lasts a long time, but yeah.
It drags.
But think
commentary
of the
by Keir Dooley and Gary Lockwood.
Keir Dooley. Yeah, if you just think about the period of time when it was released, it was like amazing visuals.
Sure.
And apparently a lot of people like to drop acid and watch the end part like, whoa, dude.
Yeah, I heard that. I think there was even a story that Howard Stern told once about dropping acid during that and freaking out.
Okay.
There's a Channel 4 documentary about it, the myth of it, four featurettes. It's pretty loaded. There's an audio-only bonus. It's a 1966 Kubrick interview with Jeremy Bernstein. So, hey, if you're a fan, pick it up.
You know, this is why someone like, say, Steven Spielberg, who won't do commentaries, sucks. Because he's going to be dead eventually, and they're going to try to release DVDs, and they'll have to do old crappy interviews when they should have just done a commentary to the film. That way we wouldn't have to watch some old interview on the extras.
Right.
I'd rather have the commentary.
And it's audio only. I mean, it's not even a video.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and look at a blank screen while listening to some old Kubrick interview.
The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, Volume 1.
Awesome!
It's a 12-disc DVD collection.
Remember how they would switch between very young Indiana Jones and then older Indiana Jones on the series?
Yes, I do.
I didn't like the little kid one.
Sean Patrick Flannery, one of the
Boondock
Saints.
I don't remember who the little kid was, but I swear to God, like when it would come on TV, you know, I remember when it was on, I was excited to watch it. But if it was a little kid, could not hold my interest, didn't give a shit.
What's weird for me is that they're charging you know, almost $150 for this 12 discs, but it doesn't even list that this is, you know, a season or something. I don't know. How long did it last?
I thought one season. Or maybe
two. Oh, is that it?
One or two seasons.
It says the complete volume one, so there's going to be a second one, obviously.
Okay.
But, you know, it just doesn't really give you any information. It just says full screen format, English stereo, 20 hours of interactive entertainment, 12 DVDs.
I always heard this was basically George Lucas experimenting, like, could you do, like, a theatrical type of thing, but on TV, and the show cost a lot of money? I'm wondering how Star Wars is going to be, the Star Wars series. You know what
I mean? He'll probably contact, like, the people from BSG and stuff like that.
Do you really see that, though? I see him as wanting to handle everything, you know?
Oh, God, please be hands-off. Please be hands-off.
You know he's not.
Who's the characters gonna, like Jar Jar?
It's going to be aimed towards, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, right now I'm not like, you know, you read people like, oh, the Star. You remember, what was it, like a year ago or 2 years? Everyone was talking about the Star Wars TV show.
And Kevin Smith was being mentioned.
I just read this week, Bill, that George Lucas is finally starting to concentrate on the Star Wars TV show.
Yeah.
So basically 2 years ago when we were excited about it, it wasn't even an idea put to paper yet. All it was, yeah, let's do a TV show. and we'll get back to this in about 2 years. So everyone's like, time. I wonder what it's going to be about. Is it going to be Clone Wars or whatever? It's like, no one knows because he hasn't thought of it yet. They just announced that shit and it doesn't mean anything for a long time. It's really gay.
Gay. It's homosexual in nature.
And I feel totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
Ellen,
speaking of homosexual in nature. Continuing the Stanley Kubrick shit, Barry Lyndon.
Excellent film.
Yeah, excellently boring. I think it's like, what, like 3.5 hours? On and on and on.
That doesn't mean it's boring. Come on!
No, this movie is boring. When you remember how long it is, it's boring.
Boom, da-da-da-dum, boom, boom.
Kino is releasing the Battleship Potemkin with 5.1 stereo sound with a Edmund Meisel's definitive 1926 score, redone with a 55-piece film orchestra. Sorry. So I saw this once at a art center in Pittsburgh, and always thought it was pretty cool for a an old film, really old. Like 1926, I think. 26 or 25.
I love that they go back and they remaster these things in 5.1. But, you know, Bill, there are some people who are like, I want to see the film the way it was intended by the director in mono sound.
Mono orchestra score.
Yeah, it's like, do you really think the director intended that? That's all that was available at the time. Do you think when they were in a recording studio recording the movie, they had one mic, like, all we got is mono?
Herbie Hancock that mastered it?
Yeah. But I mean, if a recording exists where it's in stereo or in like 4-channel sound,
yeah, or you can completely redo the score,
yeah,
you know, in a proper way.
I mean, I can understand if they're saying sometimes I know it's been done where they'll take a mono track and separate it into different channels. I can understand if they're like, hey, it doesn't feel natural to me. It just feels fake. Okay, I can understand that. But if a track exists where it is separated into channels and then they put it on there, don't tell me the director wouldn't like you to hear that. And they're like, oh, I'm going to watch it in mono sound.
They wouldn't exist if the director didn't want it.
Like the Jaws Anniversary Edition. Where's the mono track? I want to watch this in mono the way it was intended. It's like, I don't want to hear it in mono. Maybe it's just because I'm young. I don't know. And I'm not.
No,
even
I think
young.
Most people would think that, unless they're like some anal film purist that
you want to clean it.
Buy our next DVD, Breathless, a film by Jean-Luc Godard.
Yes, is that the Richard Gere movie?
Yeah, right. No, this is the God. What this one was the shit. I can't even remember which one this one was. Yeah, that's what it was. It was Godard's lengthy 90-minute of Britney burping.
Wow. No,
all kinds of little short films.
What am I thinking of? The Richard Gere movie. What is it called? Steven, help me out here.
What is that?
Steven, help me.
Drawing a blank.
Come on, Steven. Help me out here. Why aren't you helping me? Drawing a blank.
Wow.
Here's a piece of paper. Draw a blank. I got nothing, Bill. Let's move on quickly. Let's pretend like we... that was very informative. Okay, Bill, what else we got?
Yes, Buried Alive, unrated, part of Dimension Extreme.
Oh, my God.
Buried Alive, not dead.
Not shot to death.
Starring Tobin Bell from Saw. I love these straight-to-video horrible.
I love how
movies.
This shitty series has made Tobin Bell like someone who
I
know who he is now. I never wanted to know who Tobin Bell was, but I do now.
Don't
Thank
you know
you.
Who I am?
Did you want to know who Tobin Bell was?
I am Tobin Bell.
You know who should be a big star right now? Robert Zadar, the guy with the big freaking jaw. He should be a household
name Jigsaw.
Right now.
Isn't he?
He should have been Jigsaw. he should have.
That puppet had a jaw like Robert Zadar, so...
Robert Zadar! Maniac
detachable.
I love maniac.
He's a cop, and he's a maniac.
Taker.
He's got a huge jaw.
He's crazy, and he's got a huge jaw.
He's also in Tango and Cash in the prison.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think Very he gets nice. Electrocuted, if I remember.
Robert Zadar Film Festival. I hear they use his chin as an anvil, actually. And they actually work metal on it. Next DVD is, I love these MGM Midnight Movie double feature packs. Like, I'll rent them. I never buy them, but this one has The Beast Within and Bat People, and I have no idea what they are, but I'll watch them because I love those old crazy movies.
It's real crappy.
I think it's maybe like the MST3K fan in me that loves those things.
Yeah.
I know I've seen both of those, too.
Really?
Probably, yeah. My dad was a big B-movie fan, and man, that's all he rented.
Watch out for snakes!
Remember back in the day, going to Blockbuster, there's so many straight-to-video bad horror movies, like, nah, let's go ahead and rent it. Like, Ticks, or, you know. Steve and I would rent every horrible movie that would come out, like, all the bad Carnosaur movies.
Yeah, oh my god, I was just going to say that. I never forget, I spent the night at one of my friend's houses, and we went to Blockbuster and rented every Carnosaur. There was three of them.
Hey, we just got done watching Jurassic Park. That was kick-ass. Maybe this will be too. Wrong!
Nuts. Didn't the original Carnosaur have, like, Diane Weist in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Diane Ladd.
Or Diane Ladd, sorry. I thought it was Diane Weist.
Good old Diane.
God, those were horrible movies.
Really bad. Roger Corman flicks, right? Or yeah. At least he produced them. From his studio, yeah.
Did the Puppet Master movies ever hit theaters?
I don't think so.
Maybe. Because I remember watching those on like HBO and stuff.
Now, Charles Band, he was the new Roger Corman. Did all the Puppet Master.
And then, of course, Ghoulies, the toilet monsters that will eat your ass off.
God, I love those. Ghoulies. Do you guys remember the Critters series?
Oh, yeah.
Good old Critters. Mm.
Critters was up there with the House series.
You know, the first Critters is really fun.
Right.
I don't think I ever saw the sequels.
Was that Critters or which one was that where they opened a portal to hell in their backyard? It was a bunch of kids.
No, that was The Gate.
The little claymation dudes.
Yeah, and the little things would hop out of the hole.
Doesn't he use the fireworks?
No, he uses that big rocket.
Yeah, it's because it was something to do with love at the end. It was something that he made with his friend, and it had to do with friendship. It's something really gay. That's how he sealed it or something.
Wow. I just remember watching that as a kid being like, whoa, it's a portal to hell.
It's like, yeah, whoa, man, little clay dudes.
Next DVD, A Clockwork Orange.
Wow, is this a Kubrick fan?
Masterness. Yeah, it's big.
It's a Kubrick love fest here.
Yeah, re-releasing them all on DVD and the high def formats, with all kinds of extras, commentary from Malcolm McDowell.
That my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie is A Clockwork Orange. It's the one I can watch anytime it's on. I love it. Disturbing film.
It's the only one that I can really watch.
It's a great movie, and I'm sure every teenager read it. You know, or maybe not even in high school, you just read it because you wanted to, but it is a great
book.
I
saw Clockwork Orange when I was like 10 years old.
It's very faithful to the book, and I would say, I mean, it is a short book, so...
Yeah, it is.
It's actually, the film is very close to it, and whatever is different, it doesn't matter, I think. It doesn't, you know, it's just a really good movie.
I never read the book.
And Malcolm McDowell's great in it.
Yeah. A little bit of ultra-violence. Some Ludwig.
Yes. Me droogies.
The Company, I guess this was a series on TNT or something.
The Company. Oh, yeah.
Michael Keaton, Chris O'Donnell, Alfred Molina.
I wanted to see that. I never got to see it.
Two discs, 300 minutes, Dolby Digital 5.1.
Son of a bitch!
Written by Ken Nolan. Didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Ken Olin?
Ken Nolan.
Oh, okay.
Nolan. You know, the guy that did Black Hawk Down and a couple other ones. Can't remember.
I heard it was great, so.
I'm going to have to take a look. I always wanted to watch it.
You don't want to watch it on TNT anyway, because you keep seeing, like, friggin' the closer walking in the screen every few minutes.
Leaning over a chair.
Or Holly Hunter on her new show. TNT.
If they're going to make Kira Sedgwick walk onto my screen, she better be naked. Otherwise, I'm not paying attention.
Wow.
And if people watch TNT for the closure, they know when it freaking comes on anyway.
I hate that.
Next DVD.
You know, NBC's doing that too, but not as annoying, but they're still doing it.
Yeah. Stephen Baldwin
angry.
In...
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Dark Storm.
Who in Dark what?
Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin in Dark Storm.
Stephen Baldwin. You know what? I just read like an announcement, Bill, of Celebrity Apprentice is coming up, and I believe Stephen Baldwin
on
is one of the celebrities.
I love this. Hidden away in a top secret military base, Dr. Daniel Gray, played by Stephen Baldwin, leads a group of scientists who have made a device more powerful than a nuclear bomb.
I don't see the point.
So now they have to protect it, because if it falls into the
wrong
hands...
Do you really need to top the nuclear bomb? Seriously.
Yeah, well...
I mean, does it need to be
You
topped?
Can in Dark Storm. Next DVD, one of my favorite films, Terrence Malick's Days of Heaven. Really good film, Sam Shepard, Richard Gere. What's the chick's name in it? Brooke something.
Now, which is more boring, that or Barry Lyndon?
Oh, please, Barry Lyndon. At least Days of Heaven, you know, is engaging, 90 minutes long. It's just a good movie. It's one of my favorites.
Really?
I saw it, you know, I think years ago when I was a kid.
Bill, what's that crackling sound in the background?
I don't know. What is that? I hear it, too.
I don't know. It's on your end.
It's still there. All right. Well, let me fix my mic. Sorry.
Hey, I figured you had some butterscotch candies or something. Yeah, much
no.
better.
I only have a drink. I don't eat while I talk.
Days of Heaven. What was the last movie Terrence Malick did? The one with Christian Bale?
New World?
Yeah, the New World.
Yeah, that was good.
His movies are very slow tempo, but very interesting. They're never not interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're slow, but they're not boring.
The Thin Red Line,
I love.
The Thin Red Line, I do love parts of it, but I got to say there are parts I wanted to kill myself.
True. You know what? True. There are parts that didn't need to be there.
Although, maybe once I would have shot myself? I don't know. Six times.
Kind of hard
if
to
you like Terrence Malick type films, you check out that movie from a few years ago called Undertow with...
I think Badlands.
Josh Lucas and Dermot Mulroney.
Badlands
really
is his best film, I think. And most disturbingly violent.
Exactly. So, yeah, and the Days of Heaven is a Criterion collection, which is really nice because this is the first time it's ever gotten any special edition treatment.
In
if it's the only
inappropriate
version that was
here.
Released with a standard bare bones version.
Nice.
All right, continuing on, there's a really good Hong Kong film called Dog Bite Dog that's getting a release here, you know, in Region 1. And I can't recommend this movie enough. It's really dark, really brutal. It's got Edison Chen in it, who is like the first time he's done anything like this. He's kind of known as like a kind of a star in Hong Kong. But this is a really good movie, Dog Bite Dog. Put it on your...
Netflix.
You know, your queue. Your Netflix queue.
Netflix.
Next DVD is, again, another Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, but unlike the last edition that was released by Warner Brothers, this is the uncensored version. So there's no black figures obscuring the nudity and sex in the special sex part. What?
Is it in widescreen?
Yeah, it's anamorphic, 166:1, anamorphic.
Because if I believe the previous version was full screen.
I think you're right.
But Kubrick loved full screen, as I understand it. He had no problem
with
it.
Yeah, I never quite understood that. Maybe it was just because he was so attached to that Academy ratio, like the original unmatted ratio.
He's like, if you're going to show my film on television, I don't want any black bars.
Yeah.
I think he's very anti-black bars.
Who knows? But yeah, this is the first for us in Region 1, the unrated version, which if you wanted to see, you had to import otherwise. So if you want to see crazy sex orgy stuff...
That, I got to say, the movie held my attention, wondering what the hell was going on, but...
Yeah. And then by the end, I was like, that's it?
maybe was the... Did Kubrick want us to have that feeling when it was over? Like, what the bleep?
Yeah, it was like, okay, so they go through all this. They're in a toy store, whatever.
You see what I did? I just mind screwed you, Steven. Yeah. He just sat through my movie.
Well, he passed away before they finished editing.
Is that true? I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, but can you really blame that he passed away before they finished editing?
Yeah, he died before they finished editing that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe because he died because it was so mediocre.
I disagree with it.
Tom Cruise does not agree with you, Stephen.
Next DVD is Fido, the horrible zombie thing.
Say that again,
Billy Connolly. Next DVD is Fido, that Billy Connolly, Carrie Ann Moss, boy and his dog, but boy and his zombie thing that got ripped apart for being just
it's a
deceived ripoff.
Yeah, the guy is a zombie, and it's kind of like ripping off Shaun of the Dead, the ending of it, where Ed is basically chained up in his... and also they do a spoof like people have them as servants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This looked really bad.
Yeah, it was really bad from everything that I've heard, like on Rotten Tomatoes and the reviews. There was a review on Ebert and Roper that... Him and Roper and Robert Wolanski reviewed it, and they just ripped it to shreds. Next DVD, Clive Barker's Hellraiser, 20th Anniversary Edition.
Ooh, awesome!
Yeah, I might have to pick this up. But actually, it's a Starz Anchor Bay release, so I might get a Blu-ray release. That would be cool.
Hellraiser is a fun movie. It's very,
that is classic.
It's very disturbing, yeah.
Something that's not classic, Hostel Director's Cut and Hostel Part 2, Unrated Director's Cut. Both horrible.
Great.
Well, you know what? Hostel, the first one, was tolerable. The second one, unbearable. Just so bad.
Did Eli Roth do the second one?
Or did he Of course he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course. You know, if it was that bad, it had to be an Eli Roth production direction thing. Ugh, God, that movie was bad.
It's bad as Cabin Fever.
We'll you know what? Cabin Fever gets points just for the kid that screams pancakes.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
That was great. I'm sitting there watching it going, this is the best part of the movie. Pancakes!
Yeah.
What in the hell? Oh, and then the end with the old guy that speaks in Ebonics. That was really clever. Next DVD... is Meet the Robinsons, the Disney animation thing they did.
That looks pretty neat.
Yeah, I might check it out. I'll rent it. I'll rent it on Blu-ray, check it out. But
it does not compute.
Yeah.
Looks cool. I mean, you know, one thing I kind of wish I would have seen it in the theater, because they showed it in 3D.
Yeah, the Disney 3D.
That would have been cool to see. Jeffrey Katzenberg loves that stuff.
But, I always laugh at the commercial with the dinosaur that tries to get the kid, and he goes, I can't because I have a big head and little arms.
Yeah, I can't reach in my little arms or whatever.
Yeah, that just makes me laugh every time I see it. Next DVD, Mr. Brooks, the serial killer thriller with...
Dane Cook.
Kevin Costner, Dane Cook, William Hurt, and Demi Moore. I forgot that Demi was even in this thing.
So what do you think?
You know what? I wanted to see it, only because...
Son of a
Kevin
bitch.
Costner hasn't really done anything that good in a long time. So, I mean, I'll try to get past the whole Dane Cook thing, but...
William
really
Hurt's in it, too, isn't
him.
He?
Yeah, he is.
He's a great actor.
And I think, of course, this is one of those ones with a twist ending kind of thing.
Oh, my God. The last 30 seconds will blow your mind.
Believe your eyes.
I got to pee, man, but the last... Oh, God, sorry. I got to pee. I'm going to
put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains out. Saw 3, the director's cut. And if you want the first two, you might as well pick up the Saw trilogy director's cuts. Yeah. The Shining Special Edition. I might actually have to get this.
Shining?
I might actually have to get the Shining Special Edition.
Scatman's in it. Oh, you gotta get it, man. You got Scatman. You got
Kick the can.
Sopranos Season 6 Part 2, or Sopranos the complete seasons 1 through 6.
Shouldn't you say controversial?
No. I'm not going to say that.
I think everybody's calmed down about it by now.
This is cool. Oh, man, I'm totally going to get this. Tales from the Crypt, the complete seasons, 1 through 7.
Tales from the Crypt.
I used to love watching that on HBO at
night.
Did you
like my Crypt Keeper impression, Steven?
Very. It was excellent. That was good. I used to like to watch Tales from the Crypt and Dream On. Tales from the Crypt for the scare and Dream On for the boobs.
Hey, they both had boobs in them, really.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Remember that horrible Tales from the Crypt movie they did with Billy Zane, like Demon Hunter or something?
Oh, Demon Knight.
Demon Knight.
Demon Knight. Oh, my God.
You know, see, that would have been fine on HBO, but they released it in theaters. No,
yeah,
you know what's
like,
worse?
What are you thinking?
Remember the, oh, my God, the brothel one, the vampire brothel with Dennis Miller?
Oh, with Dennis Miller. Oh.
That was in theaters, too. What the hell was
yeah.
that called?
God,
Bordello
of
Blood.
Blood, yes.
And Corey Haim's in it, too. Corey Feldman's in it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's that one was really bad.
Demon Knight, it had something, but...
It was enjoyable, but it wasn't good.
That movie, the Gulager movie, it seems like it ripped off a lot from Demon Knight to me.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. Okay, so let's finish these up real quick. We got 10 minutes left. Veronica Mars, the complete third series. So
right.
If you want to finish your Veronica Mars collection. I'm kind of sad. I probably won't get this only because it's left, you know, the ending is so up in the air. It's kind of disappointing.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they leave it with, like, the Vinnie Van Lowe possibly winning the election for sheriff and all that. And
yeah, really, they just said... I've heard rumors that the director, Rob Thomas, the creator, Rob Thomas, he's going to do, like, a comic book series, kind of like Joss Whedon did for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That should be pretty cool.
Oh, that would be terrific.
So
I would love if he did that.
Yeah, so would I. I'd really like
that. That's the perfect way to, like, top a series off, do, like, a comic... as we were talking, you know, the Stanley Kubrick films from Warner Brothers are all coming out, and if you don't want to buy them individually, if you love them all, pick up the Video Director series. It's got all 6 films that are, or actually 5 films that are being released, plus an extra called Stanley Kubrick Life in Pictures. To recap, it's 2001 A Space Odyssey, Clockwork Orange, Eyes Wide Shut, Full Metal Jacket, and The Shining. And Stanley Kubrick, A Life in Pictures.
So is Dr. Strangelove, was that in there?
No, that's a Sony-owned film.
Oh, different studio. I got you.
Yeah, that's MGM, I think. And, you know, I should say I do like Dr. Strangelove.
Maybe they'll show that on the MGM HD channel eventually.
I do think that Dr. Strangelove is highly overrated, but I do like it. Like, I don't think it's as funny as people say it is with the Peter Sellers stuff.
See,
I find that kind of irritating.
I understand what you're saying, and sometimes I think, like, if my dad tells me it's genuinely funny, I'm like, okay, but maybe I'm just too young.
Yeah.
Because I think Peter Sellers is hilarious, but you know what I mean? Like, everyone tells you something is great, and you watch it, and you're like, yeah, this is great, but maybe too many people have told me it's great.
Or you say, yeah, this is good, not great.
I expect it to be. But it's a classic, though.
The way they talk about how it's so funny, look at him in the wheelchair trying to control his leg. He's talking about how people are going to die, but if you only do this many, these people, you know, and it's just like, it's humorous, but you don't see me cracking up. So, yeah.
And we'll just
not
leave
a huge
it
fan.
At that.
Yeah. That's DVDs for this week.
Oh, well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing DVDs.
No problem.
It was awesome. Thank you.
I know.
Now I
thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Yes, thank you. All right, everybody, that was episode 98 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this evening live on Talk Radio X every Friday. Oh my god! Thank you for joining us.
Son of a bitch.
Episode 99 is next week.
Son of a bitch.
And I believe next week, next Friday, is my birthday. And remember me talking about, like, maybe we do a call-in show, that kind of thing. It almost sounds like I'm not milking for everyone to call and go, hey, happy birthday, Jason. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's my birthday, and it would be nice not to work on clips all day for the show and just show up and not have clips to play is what I'm saying. So we'll see what happens during the week, but I'd like to thank everybody, and I'd like for you to call and leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491 or go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and leave us an email. Also, you could go to nowhereamulberry.com and you can find links to all of our old shows on Mulberry Old School. Also, links to the lunchtime show. And you'll find a link to our forum. Please join the forum and talk to us and give us feedback on every single episode since one. You know, wouldn't that be great? Just someone to go back and review the archive. This show sucks. Episode 2, a little bit better. Episode 3, not so good. Episode 4, more on your game. Episode 5, then just all the way up to 100. No, actually, I wouldn't
need
like
an archivist.
Yeah.
Episode and I 100. Feel totally responsible for it, and I'm so sorry.
Responsible for what?
Episode 100. She's feeling responsible for it coming up.
So what are we going to do on episode 100? It's almost like it's pressure to do something special or you just do the same old show.
That might be the trick.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a twist at the end, like M. Night Shyamalan or something.
Maybe we'll reveal Foggy. Let him speak.
Yeah.
Reveal Eugene. I don't know. All I know is this, Steven.
I want you to know I think you're an amazing person. I really do.
Thank you.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Hey. But anyway, that's the show. Episode 98 of Nowhere on Mulberry. We got a few minutes to kill, Bill. So how's it going?
It's good. You know, I wanted to bring it up on the show, but if our listeners visit engadgethd.com, it's saying that this Sunday, Best Buy's in their circular is going to give you a free copy of Heroes Season 1 on HD DVD when you buy the HD DVD player for the Xbox 360.
Nice!
So basically, you're getting an Xbox 360 for, or a DVD, HD DVD player for what, $100? Because the Heroes Season 1 set's got to go for like $80 to $90.
Yeah! Mm-hmm. That's a damn good savings.
That is.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
If you have a 360 and want to come to the dark side...
That's almost like getting speared by a Mayan warrior.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
And then I went and bought an HD DVD player and got Heroes for free.
And it was amazing.
And I played Halo 3 with Jason and Bill.
Son of a bitch.
And they kicked my ass.
And then someone asked me the time, and you know what I did? Because I saw a Halo on the brain. Doing CAT scan. It was a game, I tell ya.
Yeah, is that going to be a new defense?
I just got done playing Halo. It's like the least, I mean, of first-person shooters, there's some really disturbing ones. I would blame that other game, Bill. What is it called? The new one? The real disturbing, like, underwater city game.
Oh, BioShock, yeah.
Yeah, when I was disturbed that performed brain surgery on my neighbor.
They blame video game, they blame rock
They've
music.
They've been doing
They've
this shit
this forever.
Yeah, we even saw this
thing. Yeah, I remember Tipper Gore and her whole
Remember Mortal BS. Kombat? It's so, it'll kill everyone.
Oh, God, I remember the controversy
Judas
about the
Priest
finishing
made
moves
me kill
that.
My parents.
Judas Priest.
A gay lead singer sang such angry music, I had to kill my parents. Yeah.
I didn't get the gay innuendo, so I
they
killed my parents.
This lady, Dr. Susan Bartel, give me a break.
Breaking the law.
That was about man love.
It was.
All right, everybody, that was the show. Thanks for joining us. See you next week, episode 99.
Breaking the bunghole.
If Bill and I could be talked into doing the lunchtime show again, we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Unless we're playing
otherwise,
Halo.
We'll be on Xbox Live. Stay tuned for Nocturnal Emissions.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Now this is podcasting.